We greet you in the precious name of Jesus. It's a wonderful blessing to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Certainly seek an interest in your prayers, and as Brother Leon mentioned in his prayer, the Spirit's leading. When we preach, we want to be led of the Spirit and not say anything that is not of the Lord. A few days ago, when I was planting corn, I noticed a bird that looked like it had a broken wing. Children, do you know what kind of bird that was? What's the name of the bird that flutters around and acts like its wing is broke? Anyone? Yes, I see a hand. Killdeer. Pardon? Killdeer. Killdeer. Right on, Shane. Thank you. That's a killdeer. It was making a fuss, and after all, I went out, I did find the eggs, and was glad I didn't destroy them, even though I planted corn through them, put them together. But a killdeer is a bird that pretends, and it can do a pretty good job of pretending. It pretends it has a broken wing, and you follow that and get it away from its nest. At our brother's meeting, someone said that there's a lot of pretending going on. So I've been thinking about that quite a bit, thinking about pretending. And I concluded that, yes, there is a lot of pretending going on, and that there's been a lot of pretending going on for a long, long time. The Bible gives us a lot of records of people's lives. Some of it doesn't necessarily say God is for it or against it, but it gives us a record of this is what this individual did. This is what this individual did. And as you read those stories, you learn that people are prone to pretend. The title is Beware of Pretending. And this message has two parts. First of all, we'll look at why man pretends. And secondly, how to stop pretending. I'm sure this subject could be branched out in many ways, and I'll just share some of the thoughts that I trust our Spirit led this morning. But thinking about why man pretends. Why are you and I prone to pretend? I think we know what we're talking about when we're thinking of pretending. Yeah, that bird wasn't hurt. It was just acting that way. And we can do that as well. But there's three areas that I think of as I looked and thought about Bible stories. And the first one is to control situations. Turn to Genesis chapter 27. I think there'd be quite a number of stories of individuals' lives where they pretended to control for the reason of trying to control an outcome, trying to control a situation. Think about Jacob pretending to be Esau before Isaac, his father, in Genesis chapter 27, verses 15 and 16. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son. And she put on the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands, upon the smooth of his neck. It was quite a pretending going on. And the pretending was about trying to control an outcome. In Genesis chapter 37, verses 31 and 33 is another story of we know the story of Joseph and how the brothers plotted against him. And then Genesis chapter 37 and 31 and 32. And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or not." It was pretending, and he was to connect the dots as to what happened, and of course that's what he said. Jacob, he rent his clothes and said, "A wild beast hath gotten Joseph." But it was a lot of pretending to deceive Jacob. And again, was it not to control an outcome? Why man pretends? We're thinking of why this is such a problem. I think the second reason is to cover sin. Man has a strong inclination to attempt to hide sin. We have the story of the first parents in Genesis, and Adam and Eve hid themselves. They hid themselves in the trees. Children, who is it that said that they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent? Who gave those words? They are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent. Yes. Did you raise your hand, Sean? Who gave those words? Achan. Yes. Achan said those words. It was an effort to pretend that he didn't have anything. It was below the earth. And then we have the story of a man who schemed a man's death so that he could marry his wife. And that was David. Again, there was pretending going on. And at the end of the chapter there in 2 Samuel, "But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord." God saw all the pretending, and even though David was his friend, said he's displeased. We know the rest of the story. Pretending to cover sin. We're familiar with that, are we not? It's human nature. I wonder how many lawyers could quit their job if people just stopped pretending. I think a good many of them could. They wouldn't have to, if they would just stop pretending and be honest. This is what happened. We're looking at why man pretends. Thirdly, is to make himself look good. Think about the story of Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5. They pretended that they had given all the proceeds from the land sale. Nobody said they needed to give everything from the land sale. Why didn't they just say, "Well, this is what we paid, and we're paying, this is 75%. We're giving 75%. In verse 8, it was a space of 3 hours later when his wife came. Sapphira and Peter answered unto her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yeah, for so much." So it wasn't true. It was a different figure, because they had kept some back. It was a lie. It was false information. So why did she give a false impression? A falsehood? Well, the answer is to make themselves look good. It was about making themselves look better than they actually were. I believe these three areas, brethren and sisters, is why there's so much pretending going on in the human race. Because of these three areas of control, covering, and trying to make one look good. You know, this would be easy to talk about if it were not part of the human race. But these three reasons come right home to us. We're part of the human race. We're not talking about the killdeers and the possums, that they have their ways of playing dead and putting on a front. But this morning we're talking about us. And we're looking in Scripture and saying, you know what? The human race has a real problem of pretending. We pretend so we can control a situation. We pretend to try to cover our sin. We pretend to make ourselves look good. You and I have a strong inclination to be pretending. You know, I don't think those killdeers have training classes to teach them how to pretend a broken wing. Do you think so? I don't think so. It just happens. It's in their nature. It's in their nature, and so it is with us. Those three areas that we mentioned, it caused so much pretending. Now, we don't need to train our children to do this, to pretend, to control or pretend to hide sin. No help is needed. It just comes automatically, does it not? I find it that way. I found it that way. It comes automatically. And it's because of the Adamic nature, brethren and sisters, this morning. It's the human nature. In Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And it says, who can know it? It's not a very nice picture of the human race. That the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? And that people can be so deceived and pretending, and they don't even understand themselves and their needs. How do we stop pretending? To stop a second point is how to stop pretending. To stop a life of pretending is a hard thing. It's a very hard thing. Because we are creatures of habit and we can be deceived. And some of this deception can be deeply ingrained in us. Many, I believe, find it too difficult to stop pretending. So they keep on pretending. It looks like the easiest thing is to keep on the path that they are, and that is a path of pretense instead of a path of being authentic and this is who I am. You know, it would be a very hard thing to train that killdeer to stop doing it, because that's who it is. But I believe that for us this morning, there is hope to stop a life of pretense and stop a life of pretending. You may open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. And we like to read verses 23 through 37. Jesus had a lot to say about this subject. And as we read these verses, there'd be more that we could read, but you'll see the passion of Jesus about this subject of pretense and hypocrisy. Verse 23, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so, ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye be witnesses unto yourselves that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers. Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom ye slew between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate, for I say unto you, ye shall not see me henceforth, till ye shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." We see many strong words of Jesus to those that were pretending. And they're relevant to us today. When we raise the question this morning, is how can we stop pretending? How can we stop a life of pretense? Well, first of all, I have one word, and that is Jesus. Jesus. Jesus is the answer to a pretending life. Jesus never pretended in a wrong way. That sets him apart from any other man that ever set foot on this earth. I think all men have pretended in wrong ways, except Jesus. We're not talking about boys pretending to be carpenters or farmers. It's not what we're talking about. Jesus understood spiritual hypocrisy better than any other man at that time. And the reason for that was he was God. And he couldn't be fooled. He knew what people were thinking. He could see right through all the pretending going on. And he looked on and he would think, well, there's a lot of pretending going on. Because he knew what was in their hearts. In verse 14, It mentions the prayers, "For ye devour widows' houses, and for pretense make long prayers. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation." These individuals, the scribes and Pharisees, had some impressive prayers. Jesus was not impressed at all. He knew what was inside their hearts. And he knew that it was just about making an impression. He knew it was just, they were just pretending. Well, how can we stop a pretending life? And this is for us, brethren and sisters, this morning, because the scribes and Pharisees, they weren't considered the worldly people. They were the religious people. We know that this is in the world. We know it's in the government. We know it's all around us. But the message is for us. How can we stop a pretending life? We need to start talking to Jesus about it. You know, Jesus knows all about it. And he wanted to talk to these people about it. And I believe we need to start listening to what Jesus has to say about it. Jesus has an opinion. He has something to say to us about our pretense. He had a lot to say, but they would not listen. They were not interested. So we need to start talking to Jesus about it. We need to start listening to Jesus about it. And we need to start doing what Jesus tells us to do to resolve our pretending life. You know, Jesus had answers for the scribes and Pharisees, but they just boldly refused them. They said, "We know that they were the ones." Some of them rejected him and wanted him just out of their life and wanted him dead. They refused Jesus' answers. But the message of hope this morning, brethren and sisters, is that Jesus still has answers for the spiritual pretending that's going on. And I think there's always spiritual pretending going on. I know it has been in my life, and I believe every church has some spiritual pretending going on. And that's why we come to church, to try to get it addressed and try to help ourselves to repent of the spiritual pretending. Secondly, how can we stop a pretending life is to reject spiritual blindness. Jesus used the word blind numerous times. Notice in verse 17, he mentions, "Ye fools and blind." And verse 19, "Ye fools and blind." And verse 24, "Ye blind guides." And verse 26, "Thou blind Pharisee." Very strong language. What is Jesus talking about this? He's saying that they're blind. Now, they could see visionally, but it was something deeper than that. Let's just look at a few other verses to help to explain what Jesus was talking about. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. If you would turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, then there's a verse in chapter 4. It helps us understand that Jesus was not talking about their eyes. He was talking about something else. 2 Corinthians 3:14, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day remained the same veil undertaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." Chapter 4:14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also by Jesus Christ and shall present us with you. I think I may have wrote a wrong verse there. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 18 having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Notice, it's talking about their minds, their hearts were blinded. In 2 Corinthians, the other verse was, lest the glorious light of the gospel shine in their hearts and the blindness. And Ephesians 4, bring out the ignorance that is in them. I believe this is a choice. This blindness was a choice to be having their mind blinded. And Satan is very involved in this today, in blinding the hearts of the masses through many means. The whole entertainment and sports and all the whole things of the world, it is geared to blind people so they do not pay attention to the important things. And the question for us this morning is, are we rejecting spiritual blindness? Or do I have areas in my life that I am just, I want it that way. I want to be blind there. They were blind. It says, ye blind guides. It was a choice. It's not that they were like a vision where born blind. And they did not want answers for their spiritual blindness. We need to make a choice of rejecting spiritual blindness. That we really want the light of the glorious gospel to shine in every part of our life. To shine in our mind. Not have parts that we don't want to deal with. How can we stop a pretending life? Thirdly, stop being self-righteous. Jesus mentions that in verse 14. It was long prayers, impressive prayers, but it was a pretense. In verse 28, outwardly appear righteous unto men. 30, again, well, we wouldn't have done it if we were there. We wouldn't have killed the prophets. The path to stop being a pretender is a path of humility. I believe the scribes and Pharisees were just too proud to stop their pretending. And they had developed a culture that involved a lot of pretending. And I believe they somewhat enjoyed it. And it was hard to change that culture that had so much pretending in it. And it was based on a lot of pretending. I believe we can start addressing our pretending as stop being self-righteous. If they would have conquered that, they would have humbled themselves and said, you know what? We have some needs in our lives. Let's listen to what Jesus has to say. Because I have some needs in my life. But for them it was, no, we don't have needs. It's those people over there have needs. When we go that way, we won't help ourselves. Fourthly, how to stop a pretending life is start looking inside. I'm impressed in this passage the many times that he mentions the word within. Verse 25. But within they are full of extortion. And verse 26, that which is within. And again in verse 27, it says, but within, but are within. And verse 28 again, but within ye are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. It appears that they just were not willing to look inside.
Jesus was addressing what was within their heart, what was it within their minds. And he addresses it so clearly, and he uses those words repeatedly, saying, within, my friends, within. Yes, you have this all looking good outside. You're making a good impression. You pray so beautifully, but you have some problems inside. And they just refused to deal with it. They simply didn't want to deal with what was inside. And we can be the same way. It's just too difficult. It's too stressful. It's too painful to look inside at our heart and acknowledge that, this is who I am. This is what I see. It takes a lot of courage to do that, and it's a sad day. The scribes and Pharisees did not have the courage to look within. Fifthly, last point, is accept the truth. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Accept the truth. In verse 37, Jesus pled. He would have so desired to gather thy children together, even as a hen gather her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. He wanted to gently bring them in. I want to help you. I want to help you with your needs. I want to clean your heart. But they could not accept it. Conclusion of the message is, we can't stop all the pretending that's going on around us. And I agree with the brother in what he said at brother's meeting. There's a lot of pretending going on. It is in many different avenues. We can't stop all the pretending that's going on in our families, in our churches. But brethren and sisters, this morning, something that we can do is start addressing our own pretending. Start addressing our own pretending. With less pretending in our personal life, with less pretending in family life, with less pretending in marriage life, with less pretending in church life, things will be better. Less pretending. May God help us in this. Let's not be fooled into being a person that is pretending. Jesus gives some strong words to these individuals that looked right and they were acting right in many ways. But it was so much pretending. He says in verse 33, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Friends, this morning, that is the result. That is the result of those that choose the path of pretending. Reading in Job recently, came across that verse, for the congregation of the hypocrites shall be desolate. The congregation of the hypocrites. It's not a good picture for those that choose to pretend. There's so many blessings on those that address it and have victory. I believe there's many emotional blessings, spiritual blessings, marriage blessings, church blessings, personal blessings, when we start being honest. Isn't that the opposite of pretense, being honest? May God help us. Satan is opposed to us, but I'm so glad. Jesus is greater. He's stronger. May God help us to be individuals that address the pretending problem. Let's kneel for prayer.